Tonight we're going to talk about the bugaboo of the Holy Spirit, the thing that intrigues people, scares people, makes people want to run, and that's speaking in tongues. We're going to cover as much of this as we can. If we don't get through tonight, we'll do it next week, and we're going to just look at Scripture. That's all we're going to do. Did you know that Jesus actually talked about it? A lot of people don't realize it, that Jesus actually talked about it. Well, if it's something of any significance, then why didn't Jesus talk about it? Well, in Mark, the 16th chapter, we'll just look at that, Matthew, Mark. When he was given the Great Commission, in the 15th verse, he's talking to his disciples. He said, "Go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel, and him whom it sends forth is baptized will be saved and from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel, and him who sets it forth will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well." Now, as we read the book of Acts, we see all of this stuff taking place. Now, let's talk a little bit about taking up the serpents and drinking poison. And we might have mentioned that last week. Remember Paul, when he was on the island, he was gathering sticks. And it says he was bitten by a serpent, a poisonous snake, and he shook it off in the fire. There's a group of Pentecostals, and they take this literally. They bring rattlesnakes to church and copperheads, and they get them up in their face, and they pass them around. And I have never been to one of those churches, will not go to one of those churches. I don't want anything to do with anybody that does such foolishness as that. I mean, you know, they take that verse out of context. They even drink poison, and they claim that if they have enough faith that the snake bites won't hurt them and the poison won't hurt them. If they want to do that, that's fine, but don't bring that mess around me. This is talking about like Paul's situation, if he was bit, like he was bitten by that snake and he threw it off into the fire, and they were expecting him to die. And when he didn't die, they thought he was a god, and he got the opportunity to preach the gospel. Every attesting sign of the New Testament is about opening the door for the gospel. Okay? It's not about showmanship. It's not about building a big ministry. It's about opening the door to share the gospel. And we've seen all kinds of things that where people use words of knowledge and discerning of spirits, and they do it to raise money. They do it to manipulate people. It's not about that. Sandwiched between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 is chapter 13, which is desire spiritual gifts, but love is the greatest gift. And it talks about that. Well, it's a fruit. Love is a fruit. But it is the motive of, it should be the motive of everything that we do. And if it's not the motive of what we're doing, then it's not right. It's not proper. It's out of context. And that's what we need to do, is take things in context and deal with them in context. So Jesus did talk about speaking in tongues. He said one of the signs that will follow them who believe is they'll speak in new tongues. And this happened in the book of Acts. It happened three or four times. There's also an Old Testament prophecy about this, and if you want to flip over to Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah chapter 28, and verse 11. And it says this, by men with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, says Isaiah, and teach them his lessons. This, we see the fulfillment of this on the day of Pentecost. All of the manifestations of the Spirit except two are present in the Old Testament. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, healings, working of miracles, prophecy. There's one more. I'm going blank. Power gifts, special faith. The only two that are not present in the Old Testament is tongues and interpretation. They are strictly New Testament phenomenons. They didn't even come into play until the New Testament. Even though it was prophesied about in the Old Testament, it didn't come to pass until we got to the New Testament, until we got to what is called the church age in the book of Acts. When the church was birthed, that's the first time that we begin to see the speaking in tongues. So I've got so many different things. And one of the things that it says in 1 Corinthians 14:22, I'm jumping around a little bit. We'll let you ask questions in a little bit. One of the things it says about tongues in verse 22, it says, unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers on the point of believing. While prophecy, inspired preaching and teaching, interpreting the divine will and purpose, is not for unbelievers on the point of believing, but for believers. So the Old Testament Isaiah prophecy was with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak unto this people, and says, yet they will not hear me. And then that was, we see that first fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and it was a sign to those present, to those unbelieving Jews, that the Holy Spirit had been poured out. That was the sign that was given, that it was poured out. And so what it was a, we could call it a sign gift. And Roberta, she's not here, but she asked the question, I believe it was last week, about she had always been taught that speaking in tongues in the New Testament was for the purpose of preaching the gospel. Well, let's flip over there and look at that. In Acts chapter 2. Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Acts. And let's just look at that real quick. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which sat on each of them. And they were all filled and infused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Now there were residing in Jerusalem Jews, devout and God-fearing men from every country under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were astonished and bewildered because, now look at this, each one heard them, the apostles, speaking in his own particular dialect. So there's something that's doubly miraculous here. And this is the only place that this has happened in the Bible and in the New Testament. There was a miracle of speaking. They spoke with tongues. And there was a miracle of hearing. Every one of them from all of those different nations, they heard them speaking in their own particular dialect. So they were, and it goes on to name all of the different dialects were there. There was, so everybody heard them speaking in their tongues. And they were speaking the wonderful works of God. Well, a lot of people who try to explain away speaking in tongues says, well, that gift is for preaching the gospel. After they settled them down, Peter preached the gospel, and he did it in the language that they understood. No, what that was a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 28, where this is a sign to a unbelieving people on the verge of believing. This was a sign to them that this was the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So it had nothing to do with preaching. Tongues has nothing to do with preaching. Now, could God inspire somebody to speak in tongues and preach a message? Yes. But that is not the biblical precept that's set forth here. This was a miraculous speaking. They were speaking languages they didn't know and didn't understand. And those who were hearing them heard them in languages that they did understand. Now, let me tell you a story. This is something that happened to me. And years ago, I don't know how many years ago, we were at the old Sweden Cream one Sunday night after church. And this is before Tony and Phyllis even started coming to our church. And I got a call on the landline, and this is before cell phones. Yeah, this was before cell phones, probably. And they called me, and I went, and it was Tony Sparks. And he said, listen, my dad has had heart surgery, and they've dismissed him from the hospital, and we have him here. And said, he's just not responding. The doctors say that there's really nothing wrong, that he should be responding, and he's just not responding. Would you come out and pray? And I said, sure. So I go out and pray, and Mr. and Mrs. Sparks were Pentecostal believers. They went, I don't know if it's assembly or what church they went to. And so I went in and talked to them and met them, and I asked him, I said, now before we pray, I don't want to offend you, but because I really didn't know how to pray over this. I could say, Lord bless him, but that's pretty inadequate. And I said, would it offend you that when I pray for you, if I pray in other tongues? He says, oh, no, it wouldn't bother me at all. And they all spoke with tongues, and so we weren't doing anything that was out of the ordinary that they didn't understand. So I prayed for him in English, and then I began to pray in the Spirit. And Miss Sparks started getting excited. Well, I didn't realize what was going on. I was just praying in my prayer language. She was understanding me in Italian. She heard and understood what I was saying. Now, I wasn't speaking Italian. I was praying in my regular prayer language. So there was a twofold miracle that took place here. The miracle of exercising the spiritual manifestation of praying in tongues, and then there was a miracle of hearing. Now, she was the only one who understood it. And later she told me what I had said, what I had prayed. And I don't recall exactly what it all was that I prayed, but I prayed about his heart, and I prayed that the Lord would take care of it. And I didn't have a clue. I was just praying. I was allowing the Holy Spirit to pray the perfect will of God. And she heard it. Now, that rarely ever happens. Okay? That's not even the purpose of tongues. And in this instance, in the book of Acts, it's a sign to people who do not yet believe. So that's kind of what that's about there. I want to, I've got something that I found that I thought was good about 16 things about praying in tongues that we ought to know. And I've already covered number one. Let me just give those to you if you want to write them down. Number one, realize that speaking in tongues was promised by Jesus and was to accompany belief. And that's the Mark 16th chapter. Jesus promised it. He talked about it. He says, these things will happen. And we saw that happen in the book of Acts. Now, here again, we go back to two theories that people talk about, the cessation group and the continuation group. There's ones that say that once we got the Bible or once the apostles died, that we no longer needed those and they passed away. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that just from a logical standpoint, that something wasn't even given until the birth of the church, and just a few years later, it's just taken away. I don't believe that. I do not believe that the cessation of the manifestations of the Spirit has happened. As long as there's people in need, there should be spiritual manifestations. Okay, that just should be something that should be happening. Spiritual manifestations, and so realize that. Speaking in tongues was promised by Jesus. Number two, realize that it's the Holy Spirit which gives the words which you speak and not yourself. I just thought this was a very simple, very good thing that we could throw this out and we can have some dialogue around. And it quotes Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There's a couple things. They were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak. The Spirit didn't speak. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, a lot of people think, well, you know, I would do that if the Lord would make me do it. No, that's not the way it works. It's yielding to the Lord and the Spirit giving the utterance. He uses our yieldedness to do that. So realize it's the Holy Spirit which gives the words which you speak and not you yourself. Number three, understand that when you speak in tongues, you're talking to God. This is why 99.999% of praying in the Spirit is a private thing, not a public. There are times that public is proper, and we'll get into that. But most of the time, it's a private thing because you're talking to God. Now, I could preach in tongues. I wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't understand it. And nobody would be edified. You'd just think I was a big shot. So there's no benefit in that. There's no benefit in that. But when you're praying, sometimes speaking in tongues is something that turns people off. But another terminology that the Scripture uses is praying in the Spirit. When you do that, you're talking to God. And let me give you the verse, and it's only part of the verse. I don't have the... Oh, yeah, I do. For 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, let me answer a question that you may have in your mind. And you might say, if you can't understand it, what good is it? Okay, let's think about some things here. We're a physical man, we're a mental man, and we're a spiritual man. We're all three. We're spirit, soul, and body. There are things that we do to take care of our bodies. There are things that we do in the mental realm. And that's important. We feed ourselves the Word of God. We grow on the Word of God by putting it into our minds. And the Holy Spirit enlightens us. So there's the mental aspect. And we process things mentally. But have you ever known something that you didn't know how you knew it? Women had an intuition. See, I think women have a particular knack to be more perceptive than most men do. Because you are more emotional. You're more You're just more naturally perceptive about things. My wife can look at me and say, you know, that woman's flirting with you. I'm thinking, no, she ain't flirting with me. And but she said, you better watch that person because she's perceptive about that thing. So that doesn't come from her brain. That comes from her heart. And when we're dealing with praying in the spirit, man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. It's your spirit communicating with God. It bypasses your brain because sometimes your brain gets in the way. So what you're doing, you're praying to God, bypassing the brain, and you're building up your spiritual man. Now, a lot of times we struggle over the mental stuff because we have a hard time grasping it. And gosh, there's so much we can cover in this, but we'll let you ask questions. But so he who prays in the Spirit, he's not speaking to men. That this is why that most of your praying in the Spirit needs to be done privately. I like driving down the road and just worshiping God and praying in the Spirit and over the messages that I'm going to speak. And I'll say, now, Lord, I need you to show me what I need to say. I want to be sensitive to that. And then I'll pray in the Spirit, and I'll I don't know what you call it. It's kind of like marinating. It's marinating. So I'm not under at that point. I'm not understanding what I'm saying, but in my heart, it's doing something to my heart that later will enlighten my mind. Not exactly what I said in the Spirit, but enlighten my mind to what I need to do in that situation. Okay, let me go with me to Romans chapter 8, because that's a good time to go to that verse. I'm jumping around, but this is a. This is a hard chapter. This is a. Okay. I need to borrow a different translation. This is just. Can I borrow you? Here, let me borrow Mike's. I want him to know that this is in his Bible. That's not one I'm making up. You had that upside down. Oh, okay. I thought you was trying to read it upside down or something. I'm picking at you. It says in verse 26, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, how does He do that? There's a couple of ways. It says with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is a thing with that we call groaning in the spirit, where something comes deep within you, out of your belly, and it's a groan. And what happens in those situations? The Holy Spirit is taking those groanings and articulating what you cannot articulate out of your mind. It says that the Spirit helps our infirmities. That's a Greek word about that long, and I can't pronounce it. But it means to take hold together with against. To take hold together with against. Now, so it'd be like, Me and... Okay, come here a sec. Now, if you push this way, and I'll push this way.
Okay.
No, we're not working together, are we? What the Holy Spirit does, let's say this, something that would be too big for you, He takes hold together with, against, and helps us. As you see, we're working together. And this is kind of what this is describing, to take hold together with, against the problem or the weakness or the infirmity. Because we don't know how to pray like we ought to pray. I mean, and you know what you usually do? You usually just wind up praying some frustrating prayer. Well, Lord, you know, bless them. And it just seems in your own heart that falls so far short of the prayer that needs to be prayed. But you don't know. You have a weakness. Our weakness is that we can't see. We can't see what the problem is. Sometimes people will tell you, I need prayer, and here's what I need prayer about. That's not really what they need prayer about. Okay? And so when you go to pray for that, you go to your prayer closet and you say, okay, Holy Spirit, help me do this. So what the Holy Spirit does in the realm of where that need is, He takes hold, as you take hold of it, He gives you the ability in the Spirit to take hold of that, and He takes hold together with against, and you begin to deal with the issue in the Spirit. This has to do with intercession. Has to do with intercession. Maybe you're awake at night and you wake up at night and you have an urgency to pray for someone, and you think, well, I don't know what to pray. So I say, Lord, bless them and go back to sleep. Lord, take care of the need and go back to sleep. See, prayer is important to God. God has chosen, one of the things that He has chosen is the mechanism of prayer to work in the earth. He partners with mankind. Have you ever heard that verse, you have not because you ask not? Well, you know, well, if God wants me to have it, I will. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. It tells us to ask. It tells us to ask believing. And God doesn't just move because He sees a need. He sees a need. God moves because of faith. But sometimes we don't know how to pray for that. So in that moment, as we begin to flow either in groaning or praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes hold of that. And that begins to be dealt with in the spirit realm, and then it manifests in the natural realm. Remember what we said one of the Holy Spirit's job was? To take that which is in the spirit and manifest it in the natural. And one of the ways that He does that is through this praying in the spirit or praying in other tongues. Now, that's not taught in most spirit-filled churches. It's a shame that basically the only thing that's taught about tongues in most Pentecostal charismatic circles is when you get the Holy Ghost, you talk in tongues, and if you get a good feeling, you talk in tongues, and every now and then there's a message in tongues interpretation, and that's about it. Again, I want to say, the majority of this kind of prayer takes place in private. All of this prayer takes place in private. It's something that God places in our life to help us do the things that we need to do. Because it's bigger than your mind. But your heart, when you pray in the Spirit, you're talking to God. And as that happens, God will begin to enlighten your understanding and your mind. Not about what you're praying, but about what you need to do. There is a verse in, let me see if I wrote it down, Proverbs chapter 20. And I love this verse. In I got your Bible. Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, the purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. See, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your spirit. You're recreated by the Spirit of God. So you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have wisdom in you. Okay? How do we draw that out? It says a man of understanding will draw it out. One of the ways that we can draw that out, well, one of the ways is as we study and read the Word, we draw it out. But another way that we can help draw that out is by praying in the Spirit. Because as you pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray mysteries. You begin to pray secrets. And you just pray those out. And then as you do that, God begins to enlighten your mind, and the wisdom that you need comes about because of that. Okay. Let me go back to this. Oh, man. Number four. You speaking in tongues to edify yourself or build yourself up spiritually. This is not a selfish thing, but rather the purpose is that when you are built up in your spirit, then you can build up or encourage others. And it says in 1 Corinthians 14:4, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Now, anti-spiritual gifts people and people that put down tongues and forbid tongues, they say, you see, Paul said that if you speak in tongues, you edify yourself, and that's selfish. No, that's not selfish. Paul is dealing with a church that's out of order here. What they were doing is they were coming together and people just talking in tongues. And unbelievers would walk in and think, these people are crazy. So he's saying, okay, listen, here's what you got to do. Learn that every manifestation of the Spirit is to edify the church. So he says, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Now, edify means to build up, to encourage. The ideal is you're building a house. That word edify. We get the word edifice, to edify. Melvin's built a few edifices before. You never called them that, though, did you? That's what it is. It's an edifice. It's a house. So you're building up a spiritual house. You're building up yourself when you pray in the Spirit. Well, I can do that driving down the road. I can do that laying in my bed at night. I can do that in my private prayer time. I can't do it right now. I mean, I could, but you wouldn't be edified. So that's why this is more for your personal prayer life. And the ideal here is that as you build yourself up, then you can come out and you can, it'll be amazing how you'll be able to speak into people's lives. A lot of what I do, is not natural talent. It's a gift that has had to be developed. And part of it has to do with spending time with God and building myself up through study of the Word, through prayer, through praying in the Spirit, building myself up. And so that when I come out here and I teach or I minister, the Holy Spirit can move and use me in a way that's really beyond my ability. It's beyond my ability. I'm so far beyond my ability, it's crazy. I mean, some people are naturally gifted speakers, and mine is a spiritual gift. So, anyway, so you have to build yourself up. Here the ideal is, if you're going to build the church up, you have to be built up. You can't stand up here and teach if you've never studied. You can only bring a person to the level that you're at. You can't bring them above where you're at. So we have to build ourselves up in order to edify the church. One of the ways that we do that is by praying in the Spirit. Number five, don't expect to understand what you're saying. It's not important that you understand what you're saying. See, you have control over the volume and the speech. by which you speak, but not the content. For example, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:14. So what happens when I pray in the spirit? My spirit prays. That deeper man, that spiritual man. See, your spiritual man is not your brain. It's not your mental man. It's your spirit man giving expression. But your mind is unfruitful. So one thing builds up your mind, one thing builds up your spirit. And this is quite supernatural. So don't expect to understand what you're saying. Number six, when in private, you speak in tongues as much as you can. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Paul told that Corinthian bunch. And see, he was correcting them because of their excess. And he says, listen, I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm for it. I speak in tongues more than all of you. But where did he do it? He did it privately. He says, I'd rather speak five words in my understanding that you might be edified than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he was bringing a correction there. Okay. Number seven, when in public, it's much better to speak in the language of the region in order to benefit those you are speaking to. Yet in the church, I had rather speak, I just quoted this, five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Okay, so when in public, I preach in English. When I'm in private, I pray in English. I pray in my prayer language. Okay, I pray in the Spirit. Number eight, I love this one. Understand that when you pray in tongues, you give thanks well. And this is in 1 Corinthians 14:16-17. It says, in that you bless with the Spirit, but again, it is meant for private use. It does not help others who can't understand what you're saying. In fact, it says, Paul told them, he says, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, you give thanks well, but nobody understands it. So one of the ways to worship, I'll tell you something I do. I don't know if this is scriptural or not, but it sure blesses my heart. A lot of times there's a song maybe that we sang on Sunday, and I will use the tune of that song, and I will pray in my prayer language. And I will actually sing that song in my prayer language to the tune of "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Da 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 da. And I actually pray it out sing it out in my prayer language. Man, that blesses my heart. I don't know if that's scriptural or not, but it's something that I do, and it blesses me because God has given me the words, the Holy Spirit's given me the words, and it says that you give thanks well when you do it in the Spirit. That's pretty neat. Those of you who already pray in the Spirit, you ought to try that sometimes. You try it, you like it. It's better than apple pie. Okay, that's number eight. Number nine, be assured that when you speak in tongues, you're not saying anything bad about God or our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't curse Jesus. And when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're not saying bad things. You're not saying bad things about God. You're not gossiping. You're speaking the perfect will of God. And at that point in your life, the Holy Spirit has control of your tongue. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So that's number nine. You're not going to say anything bad. I mean, I've heard people say, how do you know what you say? You might be cussing God. If you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're not cussing God. You're praising God. You're worshiping God. You're speaking the wonderful works of God. Okay, number 10, understand that speaking in tongues is defined as praying in the Spirit. So it calls that praying in the Spirit. Paul said, what will I do? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding. Maybe I just quoted my verse. So 14 and 15. Yeah. So that's good. He says, pray both ways. Pray in your understanding. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in your understanding. Sing in the Spirit. That's good. Number 11, praying in the Spirit to build yourself up in your faith. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How do we build ourselves up on our faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, in other tongues. So that's how we build ourselves up in faith. Number 12, understand that praying in the Spirit is part of the armor of God. Part of is our prayer. Our prayer armor is, and part of that is praying in the Spirit. Why? Because you're praying beyond your ability to understand. You're able to reach out there where a need is. You're able, by the Spirit of God, to attach to it. The Holy Spirit takes hold together with, against the problem. And there's an old Pentecostal term called praying through. Now, they use that, you got to pray through to get the Holy Spirit. No, we can take prayer and we can pray through something until we are released in our spirit from praying about that situation. So that's a very strong and powerful thing. Number 13, understand that speaking in tongues was prophesied by Isaiah. We've already covered that. Number 14, understand what it means when the Bible says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. We've covered that. Number 15, remember that when you use speaking in tongues or even talking about it, you should be aiming to edify others. This must be done in the context of love. And, you know, here again, I have seen people who have used spiritual manifestations, not in love, but to build themselves up, to make themselves look good, or to manipulate or control people. I don't like talking like this, but I flip channels sometimes, and I'd rather watch Swamp People than I had the Gospel Channel sometimes. I'd rather watch Pawn Stars than I had some of these guys I see on TV. And you know, they get on there and they say, you know, the Lord has given me a figure, 58. And he's told me that there's a special anointing tonight on offerings of $58. And I believe that there's 10,000 people out there. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, I mean, they're talking in tongues. I didn't talk in tongues, by the way. I just, glory to God, Shandai, you know. And the Holy Ghost has showed me that, you know, there's 10,000 people out there that are supposed to give it. And when you give that, there's an anointing going to be released in your life. And special that is manipulation. Our motivation for giving should be love. Our motivation for the operation of any spiritual gift should be to build up others and to show the love of Christ. Anything else is out of order. It's just out of order. And people get fooled by this all the time. And you know the reason that they do those $58 revelation blessing things? It's because dumb Christians are swiping their credit cards and calling and sending them money. I had a lady one time, God, she's gone to be with Jesus now, and I'm sure he's done straightened her out about this, because, dear Lord, there was a guy And he was, I don't know, she responded to something that she saw probably in the Inquirer. This little deal about, you know, send me your prayer request. And then he sent her, so she sends in her prayer request. And so he sends her back a letter and has this little thing. He says, now fold this out and my handprints are there. And you put your handprints in my handprints and pray this prayer. And then enclose $25 and send that back to me. And she did that, and he sent her another one and had her do something else and send $50 this time. And I don't know about the amounts, but it always had to do with giving money. She come to me, said, Brother David, I'm getting a little suspicious about this. I said, what do you think? I said, sister, he is a phony. Oh, you better not talk against God's anointed. He is not God's anointed. He is a phony baloney. You don't do people that way. That is not spiritual manifestations. That's not spiritual gifts. That is manipulation. That's why Paul put that love chapter in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Okay, one more. Number 16, understand that there is a procedure for speaking in tongues in a church meeting. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. It says, don't all speak in tongues at once, but instead only up to three people can use speaking in tongues in any meeting, and each one should then operate the manifestation of interpretations of tongues given to us by God. Everything should be done decently and in order, with courtesy, for example, and tongues should not be forbidden from meetings. I know churches now that forbid people to give messages in tongues. How can you do that when they say forbid not to speak in tongues? You really can't. But we need to understand that if there are tongues in a service, according to that, they need to be interpreted. Now, there is an exception to this. One of them is in Acts 2:4. They weren't really in a church meeting. They were in an upper room. When the Holy Spirit came in, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they all spoke in tongues. There's another place where the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. As Peter was speaking to this group of, I forgot how many there were. Was there 12 or something like that? As he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell, and they all began to speak in other tongues. So what we see here is that the Holy Spirit falls, and they all begin to speak in tongues. Now, I want to give an opinion. This is strictly opinion, and I believe I'm right. Let's say that every one of us here tonight had the ability to pray in tongues. And I said, okay, let's all pray. And let's pray in English, and then let's all pray in our prayer language. Okay, so remember what it says, that if I pray in an unknown tongue, I edify myself. Okay, if all of us are able to do that, then there wouldn't be anything wrong with all of us doing that together, because we would all be edified. But let's say that all of us here except Melvin did not pray in the Spirit. Then that, we need to be careful about that, because he would not be edified. We could individually be edified, but he would be left out. So that's why it says that when you pray in tongues, pray that you may interpret, because the others would not be edified. And that's why that is the procedure for the way that things are supposed to operate in the church meeting. If two or three of us get together in a prayer meeting and we're praying about something, and we all can pray in the Spirit, we can hold hands and just pray in the Spirit because we're praying about something, and we can all be edified as long as we all can pray in the Spirit. If one of us couldn't, then we would need to pray in English or lay hands on that person and, you know, if they were open to that. So that's kind of a, and I know in a lot, and we haven't always done it that way here, but in a lot of churches, you just hear somebody just go off or speak in tongues, and there's all kinds of people there that don't understand what that is. And here's what happens in a service. Let's say that someone gives a message. Let's say that Linda gives a message in tongues and then interprets. What I do is I follow up and say, okay, folks, what you need to understand, here's what's just happened. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that we see tongues and interpretation. And that is the way that it's supposed to be. You explain what happened for those who do not understand. See, why? Because 1 Corinthians 14, and we don't have time to get into that tonight, but the whole chapter of 14 has to do with the orchestration of spiritual manifestations in the local church, and the whole subject of that chapter is do everything to the edifying and the building up of the church. And that's why it says that tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. Okay? Now, I don't think that and we'll get into this. We're going to define the spiritual manifestations. But a lot of people think prophecy is speaking in the first person, God talking in the first person. Honestly, the simple manifestation of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's not telling the future. It's not rebuking. I mean, I heard somebody, whoa, 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 saith the Lord, I am not happy with thee. That's not prophecy. Why? Simple prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. And if there's a manifestation of tongues and interpretation, it needs to be the same thing. It's not God speaking. I know one guy one time, he says, I don't know if he spoke in tongues and interpreted, the Lord says, I am here. Ask me what you will. You know what that was? That's ignorance gone to seed. That's exactly what that was. It's a wonder that God could. but I mean, you know, you hear things like that and you think, okay, they're ignorant or they're arrogant. They don't understand. See, simple prophecy would be something like, the Lord your God is a mighty God. The Lord your God is among you, and He is great and greatly to be praised. And there's an inspiration to do that. And what it does, it brings a refreshing to the people, and they're built up and they're encouraged. And really, that's what prophecy, that's what tongues and interpretation in the local church is about. It's about building up and edifying the church. Not by, I know one guy one time that prophesied, thus saith the Lord, sister so-and-so is supposed to play the piano. And sister so-and-so, yes, thus saith the Lord, brother so-and-so is supposed to lead singing. Dumb, 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 da, dumb, dumb, dumb. That's not good. I'm sorry. You know, we're recording this, and this is going to get out, but I don't care. The focus of any spiritual manifestation is to show that Jesus is Lord. It don't lift me up. And if I do if I do something to lift me up, then I'm wrong. If I do something to make me look good, I'm wrong. It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus look good. Okay? That it points us to Him. No man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's take about 5 minutes. Do we have questions? We've covered a lot of territory. We may not be through with this, but we'll get back into it. Any questions? Want your Bible back? Any questions? You got one, ask it. Ask it. Uh-huh.
What you said just now, it's not about me not building me up.
I said a spiritual manifestation is not about making me look good. The other thing, it's kind of the ideal edification is like when your battery gets low and you put the things on it and it charges your battery. So that's kind of what edification, to build up. It's not to exalt to an arena of pride. It's building your spiritual man up so that you can,
so that you can edify the body of Christ, so that you can encourage whatever your spiritual gift is, whatever the way that God puts you together is what praying in the Spirit it's about. It helps me teach better. It helps me have insight better. It helps me, but it wouldn't help you the same way. It would build you up in your area. Maybe you're an encourager. Maybe you show mercy. That thing that I don't do, like we talked about that Sunday, don't come to me expecting mercy. I have none. That's not my gift. I can encourage. I can, but mercy is not it. Maybe yours is mercy. And as you pray in the Spirit, God shows you how that you can minister to somebody that's down and out. He gives you insight into that. And you don't come to that by your own natural ability. It's the ability that the Holy Spirit, as you commune with Him in English and in your prayer language, He helps you do that. He takes hold together with again. So what I was saying about the other is that there are people who use, they call it spiritual manifestations, but they use it to manipulate and control, to make themselves look good. So there's a difference in edifying and make myself look good. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. You build up your spiritual man by praying in the Spirit, and so that you can build up the church, not so that you can look good. Sure.
I mean, those people in the jail, they were saying, you know, they weren't even in. They were saying, I mean, like Paul and them, they still did all the things they told them not to.
In what jail are we talking about?
Well, then Paul was in.
When Paul and Silas in jail? Yeah, they were. When the earthquake came and broke off their chains, and see, those guys didn't leave. They were singing and praising God. And when the chains fell off, those prisoners didn't leave. They stayed right there. And the jailer and his family got saved because of that. And Paul was? He was demonstrating a spiritual, what would you say? He was worshiping God in a bad situation. He wasn't griping and complaining and about God. He was praising God in every circumstance and situation. So he was showing spiritual maturity, and the Holy Spirit made an impression on the.